Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The best sport on the planet. Oh, the action, the speed, the hits. I love the fights. The raucous crowds. Yes! Badminton. No, dill holes. Hockey.
This is the Two-Pad Stack,
where we dive deep into all things NHL and then some. If it's the Boston Bruins, we talk about the ups, the downs, and everything in between. But we're not stopping there. We're also tossing in some Patriots pigskin, gaming glory, dad jokes, and all things pop culture. Because why the hell not? It's our show. As two diehard Bruins fans who also happen to strap on the pads in beer league hockey, they know a thing or two about the game. Whether you're a longtime hockey lunatic like us or just looking for a good time, you're in the right place. This is the Two-Pad Stack. Now your hosts, Ace and Burge.
All right, and we are here. Welcome to episode 36 of the Two-Pad Stack podcast. I'm Ace, the host, alongside me, as usual, co-host, Birch. How's it going, buddy?
What's happening, man? Excited to get back into talking some Bruins. I've been getting ready for the playoffs, man. Getting all fired up, getting ready. Love playoff hockey. It's one of my favorite times of year. Nothing better than the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. How are you doing today, buddy?
Good, dude. Definitely. I told you this offline. I drank way too much yesterday, and I've been nursing this hangover all day. I finally think I rallied around 5 p.m. or so, but I had the waves of nausea all day. It was not great. So I've been sipping on Arizona iced teas and water all day, and I think I've decided to forsake beer for at least a couple days. So we'll see how that continues and how that shapes up. But yeah, as always, today's episode is brought to you in partnership with our friends over at DraftKings, promo code THPN. That's the letter THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. And our friends over at SeatGeek, promo code the number 2PADSTACKPOD. That's two pad stack pod to save $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Pick up your Bruins playoff tickets. Pick up whatever you want to do that. And then obviously, another big shout out to our network, the Hockey Podcast Network. So, overall, it's been a pretty good week for the Boston Bruins. You can't complain. They, were getting some really high end opposition here as we go into the stretch. And, you know, I had some apprehension based on the way that they were playing a couple weeks ago, that this is going to be a real good test. It's an opportunity for them to prove that they are, you know, where they deserve to be. You know, with them sitting on the top of the Atlantic Division, I'd be the first one to tell you that I didn't see that coming at this stage of this season. So seeing how they were able to do, we'll break down the games a little bit, but seeing how they, since we talked to you last, the Bruins are 3-0 against the Nashville Predators, who were on like a 15-game like point streak or something like that, something crazy. Carolina, who, you know, they're always a difficult match right now. A lot of people have the Hurricanes as their pick to come out of the Eastern Conference, and our good friends, the Florida Panthers. So before we dive into the individual games, Burge, I'm curious, is there any kind of overall takeaway you have from the last week for the Black and Gold?
It's nice to see them get into the win column again. I mean, seems like we've been beating a dead horse talking about this team over the last, 2 months at this point, with them being so Jekyll and Hyde and not able to play consistent winning hockey. And you kind of hit the nail on the head as far as tough tests go at this stage of the season. The Bruins just went through it and came out 3-0. And that says something about, you know, the character of the team and the way that they're playing right now. I mean, this is the time of year where you want to be playing your best hockey. So as long as we don't see any more of the Jekyll and Hyde kind of for the last few games here going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're going to be going in kind of exactly the way you want to be playing going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I do feel like I've seen a noticeable uptick in the physicality and the emotion out of this team, which is something that I really like. I think a lot of the times last playoffs, what got the Bruins in trouble is that they kind of tried to say, we're the better team than them. We don't need to necessarily devolve into the chaos. I don't think that a team led by Brad Marchand is going to be, you know, having that same similar mentality. They're going to jump right into the trenches. And, you know, when Matthew Tkachuk does Matthew Tkachuk things, it was great to see Charlie McAvoy just answer the bell and go right at him. And I really like seeing that. And I think it's a good sign for their competitiveness going into the postseason.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, I was one of those people that did not have them anywhere close to where they're at right now. As far as I'm concerned, they've overachieved this year. They've well outplayed their expectations when they came into the season, you know, sitting atop the Atlantic Division. I do have a little bit of concerns as to what that means currently for their first round playoff matchup. We can get into that, you know, after we go through the games here. But, you know, it's hard to complain with how they have been playing, especially this last week against the quality of opponents that they've been playing. You know, they played up to their opponent this past week versus in previous matchups where it kind of seemed like they were kind of playing down to lesser competition and either blowing those games or outright losing them. So, like you said, it's a good trend to see at this point of the season.
Yeah, and you know, it was also really good to see Brad Marchand get the monkey off his back, like literally and figuratively, because when he got that goal for his 400th career goal, which big time shout out to Brad Marchand on that one. As he's skating back to the bench, he did the old grab the monkey off his back and threw it. So he's off the schneid. Hopefully we can get Brad Marchand scoring at a, you know, typical Brad Marchand pace again. But I got to give a giant shout out to Danton Heinen. Like, how the hell did this guy not get a single contract offer? And he had to settle for a PTO. He's in a top six winger role for the Boston Bruins right now at a salary of like $775K. Like, unbelievable. This, you're telling me that no other team in the league could use a guy with those skill sets that Danton Heinen has?
It's wild to see. And I remember when they signed him to that PTO, I was like, this guy, they need to sign him. I mean, he had a pretty good year last year playing with Pittsburgh. And it was actually really stunning that nobody decided to offer him a contract. I mean, he was a very effective forward when he was here before he was traded away. I remember I was like trying to champion on Twitter the Danton Heinen is elite, like hashtag that was going around when he was here. Obviously, the fit didn't quite work out when it happened. And the trade, he was part of a trade that was kind of necessary for the team at the time. I forget who he was trading
Nick
for.
Nick Ritchie.
There you go. Was it a one for one or it was like
it was a one for one? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Bruins front office identified the physicality and, you know, ability to protect the puck that Nick Ritchie had as a big need for the team at the time. And Heinen at that point was like a third line winger. He hadn't really 100% like developed any further than that. And the Bruins had a wealth of third line wingers. I mean, look at Carson Kuhlman and those types of players. So it was a dealing from a position of strength, but in hindsight, it wasn't really a great deal either because Nick Ritchie didn't do much for us either. So,
When Heinen was playing with the top line with Pastrnak and Marchand and Bergeron, he was filling in on those lines. He was effective. He could slide right into that line, and that line didn't really lose all that much steam with it. He's still only 28, which is wild to me.
Yeah,
so like. I want them re-signing him at the end of the season. 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm gonna get back on the Danton Heinen is elite hashtag route on Twitter, become insufferable out there, because he's been such a fit since he came back. And obviously the Jim Montgomery connection helps too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point there. The thing about Danton Heinen that I really like is that he's not a guy where his skill just jumps out at you. He's not like a dynamic player. But similarly to what we've talked about in the past with defensemen, like if you're not noticing him, that's a good thing. That means he's doing the right things. He may not wow you on every shift. Like he might not try to go around three defensemen like David Pastrnak does, but he's usually in the right place at the right time, makes the right possession plays, and he has that hockey awareness and know-how to put himself in a position with players that are really high-skilled to take advantage of that. And there's no better example than that rush play against the Hurricanes at the end of the game, where David Pastrnak carries it, beats the defender down the right side on the right wing, and tries to force the pass. It's not a great pass, but it gets across. Heinen, any other player could easily panic and just, you know, try to throw a bad angle shot at the net when he finally gets control of the puck when it's bobbling on him. Now, Heinen has that hockey knowledge, and he knows Pavel Zacha is coming right behind me. He's going to be right there in the slot. And he puts a beautiful pass for Pavel Zacha. Zacha had the whole goddamn net. I don't think he could have missed if he wanted to. So It was a beautiful play. And Danton Heinen, I think, I really like the way that line plays together. The Heinen, Zacha, Pastrnak line. I think that's got to be a line you got to keep it together.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you there. And again, he's a guy that I want on this team going forward. He's a fit. And it was a bummer to me when he got traded when he did. So it's great to see him come back and have success with this team.
Absolutely. Well, that brings up another topic. You mentioned seventh player award, and he's probably your guy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's the guy that I want to see win it. Like I said, I'm a huge, huge Danton Heinen stan. I was when he was here, and I just love that what he's been able to do coming off a PTO. I think he's been such a huge factor in what they've done. And even going to go as far as middle six, but we'll focus it kind of more on the bottom six. But like, he's having the second best year of his career in terms of points, which to me, at age 28, playing in that role with this team that was supposed to be a middler, maybe a wild card playoff team, a guy like that comes into the room and is able to play at that level. Familiarity with the coach just falls right into the system, and give him credit because he hung around, not getting paid for a while the Bruins sorted out their cap situation, which tells me he wants to be here.
Right.
He wanted to be here. He could have gone out and tried to search for another contract, whatever, but he wanted to be here.
And he was patient.
That means a lot to me.
And I think it really was kind of like a perfect storm for him to have a little bit of a renaissance, you know, for his career. Because, like you said, familiar with the coach from his time at Denver University. Also familiar with the town. He played here multiple years. He's familiar with the general manager. He's familiar with some of the core players. Like, he's played with Charlie McAvoy before. He's played with Brad Marchand before. He's played with David Pastrnak before. So it's not like as much of a risk for him to go and, like, say, hypothetically sign a two-year deal at, like, $2 million each with the San Jose Sharks, right? Because he'd be on a shitty team. He wouldn't be in a position to be successful on the ice. You'd probably have a more elevated role, but you'd be going to a brand-new, you know, place. You don't know where you would be living, you know, what restaurants to go to. Like, the whole acclimation process can be, you know, really daunting and overwhelming for a lot of players. And, you know, that whole dynamic was wiped off the board just because he already knew all that stuff here. So it was a good fit for him. It was a great fit for the team. I'm glad that Evan Gold and Don Sweeney were able to make the money work, mm-hmm. because for a while there, there was no money available to sign him. And that's why he went so long without getting that contract.
Absolutely. And again, it speaks to everything. The fact that he just waited around for that, like, it's almost like there was like a, there definitely had to have been an agreement, you know, behind the scenes, a little handshake, gentleman's agreement between Sweeney and Heinen, basically saying, as soon as we get this money right, you can sign this contract. Here's the contract. I just can't let you sign it yet. You gotta wait. So
yeah,
it's great. I love the player. I love watching him, and hope he's here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think he's earned that contract. What does a Danton Heinen extension look like for you?
I'd love to see him get like maybe like a 3-year, 2.5, 3 million, like right in that kind of that ballpark. Cause I think you have to go more than two. I think you got to go at least a 3 on this, and they have the cap room. So it's not like there's cap room next season, as we all know. And I wouldn't necessarily go higher than that right now. I know the cap's going up, but like, we got a lot of other players that need to get signed too. So I'd like to see obviously how those fit into the whole, the number crunch, if I'm going to go higher than that. But I think 3x3 seems to be kind of a sweet spot for me.
Yeah. I mean, ideally I would like to have the term shorter. I would like a 2-year contract extension for him just because he is 28. Not saying that players suddenly don't know how to play hockey as soon as they turn 30, but that would buy a little bit more flexibility for the Boston Bruins. I think I'd be fine at the 3 million cap hit, but
would you go with a higher cap hit to get the second, only have 2 years?
I wouldn't go much higher than 3.5 with Danton Heinen.
See, I'd rather have the third year.
He's not a play driver. Like I said, he's a very good complementary player that can be slotted up and down your lineup. But if you find yourself having the most success with Danton Heinen on the third or fourth line, anything more than $3 million is overpayment. So if he's going to consistently be in the top six, that's a good contract. But I don't like it if he's going to be down there. And who knows with what this roster is going to look like next year. And we're going to break it down later in the offseason after the Bruins run is done. Hopefully after a deep, deep run.
Yes.
We're going to have a lot to talk about with the turnover of this team, because there's going to be a lot of changes with the amount of cap that is going to be opening up, the chance of even more cap getting opened up if they do end up moving Linus Ullmark. There's going to be a lot of things that need to be figured out. Going back to seventh player award, I have to say I probably am leaning toward, I guess I don't know if he's played enough, but I really like Parker Wotherspoon there. You know, generally speaking, if you don't know about it, the seventh player award is awarded to the player that has kind of significantly outperformed expectations of the player. Notable winners in the past, like Sean Corrali, when he came out and like dominated, and players like that. I don't like it when people are clamoring for like first round draft picks that have somehow worked out. Like, I don't think star players are seventh player award people. Like, that's not what you're looking for. Like, somebody like Jesper Boqvist, I could see also being a candidate, because he was a castaway from a New Jersey team. That New Jersey team had so many high-end offensive players that were draft picks and developing, that Jesper Boqvist suddenly found himself on the outside looking in. And he's only, like, 25 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, between Heinen being only 28, getting him for nothing, Jesper Boqvist being 25, getting him for nothing, and they both have worked out immensely. I mean, Boqvist had to earn his spot again. He obviously had a little bit of a difficulty acclimating to the new system, like that, like what we were just talking about with Heinen, what he would have to do if he went to another team. Jesper Boqvist comes to Boston, doesn't know anybody. Thankfully, we do have a few Swedes here that could help him kind of ease that transition, but it took him a while to get comfortable and to really understand what it is to be a Boston Bruin and how to play here to be successful in Boston. And you could see that process kind of marinate and can continue to turn into what it is right now. And when you saw that play out of Jesper Boqvist, his speed, It's something that I don't really see elsewhere on this roster right now. And if you can keep him on a third line wing role where he's going up against second D pairs, third D pairs, like that speed, just imagine like Derek Forbert trying to defend Jesper Boqvist. It wouldn't go well. Boqvist would skate right the fuck by him. So that is a big, you know, matchup breaker. If you can have a guy like that, that's playing to his capacity. And he obviously has confidence, and obviously the coaching staff, it seems to be relatively pleased with what they're getting out of Jesper Boqvist right now too, because he was given an opportunity in overtime against the I almost said Carolina Panthers, against the Florida Panthers. And he made it count with a beautiful, beautiful goal, short side to beat Sergei Bobrovsky. So
the other two names that I want to throw out there, if Danton Heinen doesn't get it, the next guy I want to see to get it, friend of the show, Morgan Geeky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another young kid that came in, 25, I believe he is.
25, I think he just turned 25 or something. Yeah.
Comes in, 38 points. For me, it's the guys that are in the lineup every day. So somebody like Parker Weatherspoon, and even Jesper Boqvist wouldn't necessarily qualify for what I would.
Sure. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
To win the award. And then the last one, you're not going to like who the last guy is. And quite frankly, I don't really want him to win it, but I could understand the reason why he would, if he does get it, is Trent Frederick. He's kind of exceeded the expectations, at least offensively for me, as to what I expected him to be. So it would not surprise me if he ends up getting the award. Again, he's like my third choice, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah. He's like my third choice.
I can see the logic in it. He wouldn't be on my list, but I can see why you could think that for sure. I think his game's come a long way this year, and he proved that he does have better hands than I've ever given him credit for. But I mean, I think he's finally kind of shaken off that whole comment that the front office made when they drafted him in the first round. You know, we don't really see him as a top six guy. Then why the fuck are you picking him in the first round?
Well, another argument for him in this situation, again, just from the logic standpoint, he's one of four of the guys that have played every single game.
Yep.
He's played 78 games so far. Him, Charlie Coyle, Brad Marchand, and Pasternak. And you could even argue that Charlie Coyle exceeded expectations this year. I mean, he's got 25 goals. I didn't expect him to start potting that many goals this year. You know what I mean? So it's just going to be a matter of your personal preference. I mean, I like the little bit more guys that are in the lineup that are more not necessarily grinders, but they're not the first guy you think of when you think of the Boston Bruins. You think of the secondary guys here. So somebody like David Pasternak should never win the award. He should never win the award. And the goalies haven't played well enough to be in that conversation. They're probably a little bit beyond that, given how last year went. So,
yeah, I mean, they're both number one goalies. That's not like God forbid something happened and one of those goalies went down and, you know, let's say, you know, Michael DiPietro gets the call up and he performs perfectly. Like that would be somebody we could consider.
Exactly.
You know, somebody that had a difficult path to the NHL. Mm-hmm. Also, big time shout out to Danton Heinen for his nomination for the Masterton Trophy.
Yes,
which is absolutely Exactly what we were talking about, that rough path to get back to where he's at right now. I think it also is a little bit of a nod that the Bruins haven't had many situations where there was a lot of adversity for them to go through as individuals, that Heinen was the one that got that accolade. But that doesn't diminish the hard work that he did at all. So shout out to Danton Heinen there. All right, so we got our seventh player picks in. Talked about Boqvist. You know, one guy that I think could be primed for a seventh player run next year would be a guy that just got put on the shelf for a few weeks. If you haven't heard, Justin Brazeau left the game against the Hurricanes early.
Hurricanes, I
believe. Yeah. So got a bit of contact in the neutral zone, upper body injury. Did not return that game. I think that was in like the first period that he went down. Initial report was that it's a week-to-week situation. Bruins have obviously since returned home, had a practice and such, and there's no update. So sounds like we're going to be without Justin Brazeau for a while. But what he did here is he kind of perfectly encapsulated what we were just referring to, mm-hmm. what we're looking for with a seventh player award recipient. You know, he wasn't, we talked about this previous episodes, Justin Brazeau was not on anyone's list to get a call up. He was not even on my radar as a potential person to get a call up. And he's earned himself a spot when he's in this lineup. Mm-hmm. That combination of smooth hands and size that's hard to move away from the front of your net, that was something that they didn't have. Now, that may not be the case when Pat Maroon is finally ready to go, which I think we will be seeing this week. But, yeah, it did suck to see Brazeau go down, and it seemed like it was like a nothing play too. So hopefully we see him back sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember we were talking about him getting the call up. We were like, well, let's see what happens. I mean, the kid's making the most of his opportunities that he's had out there. I mean, hasn't played a lot of minutes, hasn't played a lot of games this year in the NHL for the duration of the year. But when he's out there, you notice him. And he's when you want to notice somebody, you want to notice them in a good way, especially the young kids. I know we just talked about like Danton Heinen. If I'm not noticing you, that's good. But when you have these young kids get called up, you want to notice them in these positive ways. Justin Brazeau potted a goal in his first game. Like that's huge. Yeah. That's huge. And, you know, for a team that, you know, for years we were clamoring for them, play the kids, play the kids, play the kids. This year, we're kind of seeing them do it a little bit, and it's working. Brazeau, Boqvist, Parker Wotherspoon, like we talked about, Mason Lauri, like Matty Patra before he got hurt. Same thing. You're playing the kids, and you're seeing something. You're seeing potential there. And I'll be honest with you, I'll say it right now. I'll be kind of stunned if Justin Brazeau doesn't carve himself out more of a full-time role on the team. I'm not saying he's going to be a full-time every day player in the bottom six next year. Maybe we're getting a little bit of our head of ourselves by saying that. He's going to get a substantial amount of games next year. Yeah. If he doesn't, then maybe there's something to do with the injury that's a little bit worse than what we thought. But, you know, not having him out there for the playoffs, I think could hurt. But like you said, we got Pat Maroon. There was somebody who was going to be out of the lineup, and the injury might have just made it kind of easy for the Bruins in terms of their decision making.
That's true. I mean, especially with
not to say it's a good thing, but
yeah. But I mean, sometimes adversity has its way of kind of sorting things out. So I do anticipate that we will be seeing Pat Maroon in the next few games. I think they originally had the game against the Penguins penciled in for his return. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that goes down. But one thing on Brazeau, I really like the dynamic he brings to the second power play unit, that net front presence that mm-hmm. kind of like JVR has done as well in his career. It's something that unit needs. And I really think that the way that the second unit simplifies the game down really works, because you watch that first power play unit come over the boards and they're trying to do like, you know, Aposta is some of these stupid cross ice passes and everything's getting picked off. And when it works, it looks amazing and everyone loves it. But then they somehow get into these ruts and they start to try to force things that aren't there. And the Bruins get like maybe 10 seconds of possession in the offensive zone before the opposition's able to just get rid of the puck. And they're just not playing simple hockey. And then the second unit comes out there and it's like a complete 180 from what the first unit was doing, and they're able to generate opportunities because of the simplicity of the second unit. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe having two drastically different stylistically power play units keeps the killers on their heels a bit because they're having to adjust systematically.
Especially if you're able to switch on the fly. Yeah. Like if you're able to keep possession in the offensive zone and mm-hmm. you have tired bodies out there and you're able to get the new look out there, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I was about to say that before you did. Like having two separate looks could go a long way for this team, especially if you can kind of intertwine them a little bit. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And honestly, you kind of saw a little bit of frustration from the coaching staff with some of those forced plays mm-hmm. because they opted to start with the second power play unit in one of the games this week rather than the Pasta power play unit. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what goes on. Maybe I don't even know who would take that spot from Brazo on the second power play unit, because I think JVR already is on the second unit in a little bit more of a, you know, umbrella, a little higher end spot. You know, Brazo would be net front. So maybe Pat Maroon goes there and does that. I don't know.
Yeah, be interesting to see, especially come down the playoffs here, because you're going to need that. You're going to need that kind of that little bit of diversity when it comes to the power play to ensure that your power play is effective, especially if the first unit, like you said, is making those one too many dumb passes and turning the puck over and not able to sustain any real pressure on the power play.
All right, so we've broken down the That's crazy. we have broken down the week that was. Let's dive into the week that will be. So by the time you listen to this, Bruins are going to be playing the Hurricanes again tonight. So Tuesday, April 9th, Carolina comes to town. Another tough opponent. We've already talked about how they're a difficult team to play against. Really thought the Bruins took it to them early and really had the game solved in the first period when they played, which was nice to see. They kind of let their foot off the gas, and the Hurricanes got a little bit of momentum, but it wasn't particularly a close game, I don't think. It was pretty well solved in the first period, as weird as that is to say. It was great to see the Bruins not completely let the wheels fall off and let one goal turn into two, turn into three, as they have had a tendency to do this year. But it'll be interesting to see how the Hurricanes rally and come to Boston and you know, see how they answer, because they are trying to push for seeding in the Metropolitan Division. We only have four games left in the regular season, guys.
Wild.
Only four games left. We're here. It's about to be the silly season. So after Tuesday, the Bruins have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, three nights off. They're going to be after Tuesday, they're not going to be back in action until Saturday, where there's going to be a 8 p.m. game down in Pittsburgh. And speaking of fighting for seeding, the Penguins are trying to fight tooth and nail just to make the postseason. You know,
you say that, and I'm like, I was sitting there and I was looking at the standings the other day, because I was looking at the seeding and the possible opponents for the Bruins. Mm-hmm. And I see Pittsburgh's name in the playoffs. I was like, they sold at the deadline.
Right.
And they're sitting there in the, what is it, the 8 seed right now?
Yep, wild card too.
Like they're fighting with who else?
It's a dogfight right now for that spot.
Yeah, it's
Washington, the Islanders. Oh, I don't think they're gonna make it in.
Pittsburgh, Philly.
Yep, Philly.
Detroit.
Yeah, Philly seems like they're losing. They're basically out of gas now.
Yeah,
I mean, Torts squeezed a lot of blood out of that stone this year.
I got a buddy who's a pretty big Flyers fan. He was just happy to have like a season that mattered. They were expected to be a basement dweller, possibly a lottery pick, and they overachieved. And I agree with you. It seems like they've run out of gas. They definitely have. Although Torts in the playoffs would be great for entertainment purposes for those pressers after the games, not going to lie.
Yeah, that would be great. And, you know, when the temperature gets bumped up a notch in the postseason, you know, the Flyers are a fun team to watch when that happens. What was your I'm pivoting here. We're going to go back to the rest of the time that is that's coming up for the Boston Bruins. But I wanted to get your thought on the New Jersey Devils, New York Rangers line brawl.
Love it.
Yeah.
I don't know the backstory behind it. There was obviously something that happened to, you know, premeditate that.
Yeah.
Right. And do you know what it is? Because I honestly
forget which player got hurt, but what it was is I believe Matt Rempe had a high hit on somebody and gave him a concussion. Okay. And he got like the two game. Yeah. So he got a 2-game suspension out of that hit. And maybe it was more than that. I think it was two. Anyway, but there's been bad blood between these two teams since then. So I think it was definitely something that they were probably talking about before the game, because, mm-hmm. I mean, it obviously when you have five people square off. There has to be some sort of premeditation in order to facilitate that. So I like it. I mean, it was, the clip was shared probably a million times on Twitter. So despite all the fighting detractors' opinions about it, obviously there's still an appetite for it. So I can't remember if I've ever seen something like that myself live at a game.
I haven't, but I love me a good Donnybrook like that. I love it.
Oh yeah.
I love it. And it's nice to see the goalie stay out of it, because it seemed like it was between the five of them. It didn't escalate to that point. There were some good fights in that line brawl. Oh, yeah. Like I said, the premeditation stuff, you've seen that happen before where you had it right off the opening draw. I mean, the guys just are like, all right, we're doing this. Like, let's just get this over with. I just think it's wild that eight of them got ejected from the game 2 seconds in.
That's so good, dude. It's crazy.
Like, you're playing with 12 guys for an entirety of an NHL game.
I didn't even know like what the reasoning was for that, like what the rule was, because I don't think that they would have done it if they knew that they were all going to get ejected. I don't think the players knew either.
I don't think they did either. And then you had Peter Laviolette and Travis Green going at it bench too.
I love that too.
Get the coaches involved. I love when that happens. Like, and Peter Laviolette has done it multiple times where he's done that kind of thing. Where
can you imagine Laviolette on one bench and Torts on the other one?
You might actually get a coach's fight.
Right? They would probably throw hands.
I don't know if that'd be a good look for the NHL if the coaches start throwing haymakers at each other.
Yeah, send the coaches to the box. All right, we're going to actually send you over to our hat trick with Patrick for the week and a message from our sponsors, DraftKings. We'll send you over there now.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and however you are listening to the Two Pad Stack podcast. Welcome back to the Two Pad Stack hat trick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's make some money. These picks are all for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, and they are made via the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Always gamble responsibly and always gamble with the king, DraftKings Sportsbook. That being said, let's go. My first pick, after we went 2-1 last week to get our record to 18-24 on the season, first pick is going to be the New York Rangers at the New York Islanders, and it's Rangers minus 1.5 on the puck line. That's plus 185 for the New York Rangers against the New York Islanders. Number two is going to be the Boston Bruins. Yes, the Boston Bruins hosting the Carolina Hurricanes. It's going to be the money line pick. Boston Bruins money line, minus 108. Boston Bruins to win the game against the Carolina Hurricanes. And last but not least, we go to New Jersey for the Toronto Maple Leafs in Jersey taking on the New Jersey Devils. We're going to go over 6.5 goals scored at minus 125. The stat I have here, both teams are hitting on the over 54% or more. Take the over, take the points, take the money. One more time. Rangers minus 1.5 against the Islanders. Bruins money line against the Carolina Hurricanes. And Toronto Maple Leafs and New Jersey Devils over 6.5 goals. Thank you for listening, fans of the Two Pad Stack podcast. This has been the Two Pad Stack hat trick with Patrick. I am Patrick. Let's make some money. Thank you.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You can even get the Boston Bruins at plus 114 against the Florida Panthers tonight. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Resort and Casino in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. All right, so there's your picks for the week. I really am going to need Pat to pick it up here because I think he's actively leading you guys astray intentionally. So just really not good picks lately. So you'll have to remember that, Pat. I need more from you for our loyal listeners here on the two-pad stack.
Let's go, Pat. Don't make sense and don't make dollars. Come on, make some sense.
Right. That's right. That's right. All right. So continuing the road ahead, we already talked about Tuesday against the Hurricanes on April 9th. Saturday, April 13th, after that long hiatus, Bruins will be playing the Penguins. That's that game that was penciled for Pat Maroon to make his Bruins debut. Probably play all three of the ones after the two games after that, too. So Saturday, April 13th. Monday, April 15th, that is against the Washington Capitals, who are also fighting for their playoff lives. So it'll be interesting. The season ends on Tuesday, April 16th. So by the time we will be talking to you guys next, you will have that episode to listen to. But yeah, we're only 13 days away from the start of the NHL playoffs. So
wild. Like, the season seemed to have flown by for me. Like,
yeah,
I just can't. I love watching playoff hockey. And the best part of the entire playoffs for me is the fact that every single game is nationally televised.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch literally the first two rounds. There's multiple games on every single night.
Yeah,
and it's great because you can just turn it on and, oh, Western Conference matchup. Oh,
nope.
The Eastern Conference matchup. So, like, it's not just the Bruins. You could watch all of it because playoff hockey is above and beyond what the regular season is. And I can't wait for it.
I love playoff hockey that I'm not emotionally invested in.
Agreed. Yes.
Like, that's why I love the first round. Like, you hit the nail on the head. I love it because it's basically high-octane physical hockey from, you know, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m.
every night.
And then if it's a weekend, you even might have the matinee starts in there sprinkled mm-hmm. in. So you could have playoff hockey from like 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. And it's so good. Like, it's one of those days that you want to make sure you have multiple monitors so you can throw a couple games yeah. up on your different monitors and watch on your computer. But I can't wait. The Bruins play the last week or so has me more optimistic than I would have been probably a month ago. So it'll be really interesting to see what version is it going to be, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, Boston Bruins, when everything's on the line.
You sound like you're still a little bit more optimistic than I am. I'm the natural pessimist of the pod. Let's be real. I still need to see it played in the playoffs. I need to see it happen for me to believe it. I'm not going to blindly believe it just given how this team has played over the course of the 82 games. We all know the playoffs are a completely different animal, completely mm-hmm. different season. Once April 16th versus Ottawa at home is done, they are 0-0. And it's a whole new season. The play is different. The way the games are officiated is different. The atmosphere is different. Pressure is elevated. I still cannot wait for it. I'm so pumped.
I'm stoked,
so
dude.
So pumped.
I'm going to be bothering my family while we're on vacation to try to keep up to date and watch these games.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be gone the first week of the playoffs. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, so maybe I'll get a co-host that's just going to be naturally pessimistic like me, and we can just have a party pooper podcast. Just
welcome to
complaint department.
The two bitch and wine pad stack podcast featuring Burge's chair one. Make sure you get somebody else that hates the goalie hug too.
Oh, I'm looking already. I'm already looking.
I won't have my camera, but I'll be able to jump on and do some stuff while I'm down there. But I'm trying not to focus on a lot of this shit. I want to kind of disconnect and have some fun.
You need it from time to time. So enjoy the family time.
I got to make sure my liver recovers enough before I go down there.
Where are you going? You're doing the whole Disney thing with the kids, right?
Yeah. So we're doing a full week at the Kidani Village Resort at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, nice.
So it's the resort where you have like giraffes walking behind you and shit. So we didn't get the safari or savannah view because that was like another $2,000. But
God.
It's gonna be good though. We've got like a 2-bedroom suite. We got a full kitchen, washer and dryer in the unit. So we don't need to do anything. We don't need to go out to dinner every night. We can cook our own meals, which is good. Save some money there. But we'll be doing one day at each park, and then the resort has a really nice pool with like a water slide and stuff and a pool bar and all that stuff. So we'll be doing a couple of resort days. I'm really excited. I'm going to see my grandmother. She's going to come over from Tampa and drive over and spend a day with us, see my little cousins and stuff. So it'll be a good trip. And we're leaving there in about 13 days. So the day the playoffs start. So hopefully it'll be really good too, is that we're not going to Boston to fly out. We're actually flying out of Portsmouth.
No way. Yeah. My old stomping grounds.
Yep. I'm flying out of Pease, going directly to Orlando Sanford via Allegiant Air. My first time ever flying these guys. So
my buddy, one of my good friends, I won't say his name, but one of my good buddies is a captain with Allegiant. He's a pilot for him. Yeah. They fly into my airport from time to time too with charter flights. They're a good airline. You'll be there. I was actually working at Pease when Allegiant started their service.
Oh, yeah.
I was like there for the inaugural stuff. Yeah.
That's cool.
So you'll have a good time.
Speaking of planes, really odd here in Rochester, New Hampshire today. Had a trio of fighter jets fly over my house today. Heading north. I don't know what for. Maybe they're preparing for the eclipse or some shit. But had that going. Well, we don't usually have like fighters based there. Like they'll obviously stop by. There's none based mm-hmm. there. But probably about an hour and a half later, it looked like it was a Black Hawk helicopter flying over our house too. Like we've seen these things before, but it's not common. And for them to both fly over in the same day, I'm like, do I need to check the news? Like, is World War III starting right now? Like, what the fuck is going on?
It's not uncommon to see them all flying at the same time into that airport. I'll tell you that. And you know, just to fill you in, like up in the northern country of New Hampshire, there's a big exercise area for the military. So they could have been going up there and doing military exercises up over the mountains in New Hampshire.
Yeah, probably, man. I mean, they were flying in formation, the trio of them. So, but yeah, I heard them a lot earlier than I saw them. I'm like, I just look at Amanda, and Amelia's sitting there with us, and she looks at me, and then the dogs start going. And I got up. I was like, I probably won't even be able to see them. They're probably like gone already, but nope. I think they like looped around and then went straight north. But if you've never seen those flying, they are awe-inspiring. And it just makes me want to like take out my pistol and shoot in the air and yell America.
put on the danger zone before you do that.
Yeah, and the aviators.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today's episode is going to be a little shorter. Got a few things that we have to do this evening prior to wrapping up. So any closing thoughts for episode 36, Birch?
Let's get through this final stretch. Let's hope the Bruins keep doing what they're doing. Maybe see a little bit more against, you know, especially in that closing game. We could tune up. You want to see that season end right. And just start getting ready to look forward to the playoffs. Let's just hope nobody gets hurt. That's the big thing. Exactly.
Stay healthy.
That's number one priority is nobody get hurt.
Nobody get hurt. Bruins, stay healthy. And you listeners, I want you guys to stay healthy too.
Hell yeah.
Because we need you here next week. So stay tuned for episode 37 dropping next week. And we will catch y'all later. Peace.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Two Pad Stack. Our passion is hockey. From Beer League to the Bruins, we friggin' love it. We love the Patriots too. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter and TikTok at @2PadStackPod. And find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching 2PadStack. See you next time on the 2PadStack.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.